Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is 9:22. 30 years ago, four women were murdered in the St. Louis region between March of 1990 and February of 91. Robin Meehan, Sandy Little, Brenda Jean Pruitt, and Donna Reitmeyer were killed. A recent DNA discovery led police to the alleged killer.
St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell announced charges against convicted murderer Gary Muhlberg this week. He's currently serving a life sentence at the Potosi Correctional Center for murder and armed criminal action for the 1993 death of Kenneth Doc Acheson and has confessed to the four additional murders. Advances in DNA technology made these discoveries possible, and Detective Sergeant Jody Weber of the O'Fallon Police Department is credited with reopening this previously unsolved case starting in 2008 and joins us in studio. Sergeant Weber, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What sparked your interest in the unsolved murders?
Well, back when I was in the Detective Bureau in 2008, like our senior detectives would always talk about these cases, and it piqued my interest. Reading the reports and looking at the pictures, I couldn't believe that this hasn't been solved. You know, O'Fallon, Missouri is a pretty good city, and to have a unsolved murder there that was so gruesome, you know, I thought that I could get something done. You know, I could look into that case and see if I can solve it.
Is it something, Sergeant, that once you decide that you're going to look into it, that you have to get approval to look into it? Do you have to, like, start from the very beginning? First of all, did you have to get approval to reopen the case, if you will?
Not really. They knew I was interested in, and I think they wanted somebody to solve it. So there was no pushback from anyone. They gave me the go-ahead immediately.
I kind of wonder why others didn't follow the same path earlier, or why it took so long.
Well, there was a lot of investigators that worked these cases when they happened, a lot. And then it was just kind of, you know, they ran out of leads and ran out of things to track down. And it just sat, you know, and sat there. But my first question was, is DNA? You know, during that time frame, DNA was starting to, you know, take off. So I guess nobody really thought about the DNA aspect of it because it was so new at that time. But that's the first thing that came to mind for me, and I ran with it.
And we hear that sometimes DNA samples are lost, or maybe enough wasn't even gathered in the first place. When you dig into the case, physically you're looking into the case.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to go to some other location to find the DNA, or is it right there in the O'Fallon, Missouri Police Department?
Well, the victim in O'Fallon, she was, you know, in pretty bad condition. She was pretty decomposed. So we knew we were not going to get a lot of DNA, suspect DNA, from our evidence. Our main concern was Lincoln County. Lincoln County's victim, she had only been missing about 4 days before her body was found. So therefore, the physical evidence on her would have been a lot better to process. So I went out to Lincoln County and got their evidence. They were willing to let me run with it. And so I took the physical evidence from that case to the lab for testing.
The popular television shows like CSI are popular because people are intrigued. But they're also wrapped up neatly, aren't they, in a television show to fit
right.
An hour.
He's smiling right now.
Right.
There's a big difference. How would you describe the biggest differences between a made-for-television show and what you actually do to close a case?
Well, there's a huge difference. I mean, nothing gets done in an hour. I've been working on these for 14 years. Mm. So, you know, the technology is amazing now. So, it takes, when we take stuff to the lab, it takes years and years. They've got, they're backloaded in the labs too, so they have a lot of cases to work on. So they have to prioritize what's important, what's not. So unfortunately, some cases kind of get put to the back burner, but it's not like you see on TV, obviously.
Right.
I wish it was, though. I could solve a lot more cases yeah. in a faster amount of time.
And is that a matter of resources, physical bodies to do all the lab work?
I would say so. And I'm not big on, I don't know how exactly the whole DNA testing goes, but there is a process to get it done. So I don't think they can immediately get something back that quickly. I mean, it's going to take, you know, days or weeks of processing to get the DNA.
When you finally get that result, mm-hmm. what is that emotion like for you? Is there an emotional rush for you?
Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting 14 years for that phone call. I mean, I was extremely excited. I couldn't fathom that we would get to this point, you know? Just the fact that I could now put a name to the suspect, you know, to who did this. Everybody, you know, it's been on everybody's mind, you know, that have worked these cases over 32 years, that who possibly could have done this. And now we have a name. And just to be able to, I was so excited to be able to tell the victims, you know, they've wondered all these years what happened to their loved one and who did this. And now we know.
There was a moment when I read the story on KMOX that I wondered if, because this was an area of Cherokee Street frequented by prostitutes, if that led to it being a cold case too, because we treated, as a society, we treated the treatment of women who were in the sex trade business just differently. You know, it just seems like we didn't have the same passion to solve those cases. I wondered if that was a part of it too.
You know, people have asked me that. I don't believe that. Just by reading the reports and the amount of investigators that were involved in all three of these cases, I mean, we're talking 50 investigators, and a lot of them still talk about this case. It is not, you know, it was not something that was forgotten about. So
that's really good to hear.
Yeah. I don't think in this case that was the situation. No.
Wow. I just want to follow you around, see what it takes to be a woman who is a detective. Cracked a cold case. I just love it.
Boy, I do too. Finally, what is next in the process? What happens now?
So we do have a unidentified victim that we are trying to identify. All I know at this point is that she was put in a metal barrel. It was like a spring type lid on it. And he disposed of her in a self-serve car wash. He believes it was on Natural Bridge. At this point, we are not able to find anything connecting to that situation. So
there's one more family out there.
There's one more family. So if anybody has any information, I would love to hear it.
Send it your way.
Please.
Thank you so much, and congratulations again, Detective Sergeant Jody Weber from the Ofala, Missouri Police Department. Congratulations to all who were involved. I know it wasn't just you, so congratulations to everyone.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.